And then I think in verse 14 ties these seven exhortations with a really nice bow. And it says, to all these things add love. It's really not an above. It's really to all these things add love. It was mentioned yesterday, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It presents the way God loves us in an unconditional way. We know it as agape love. And if we add love to tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving, then what we'll find is that we create an atmosphere in our homes, in our assemblies, that is healthy. We're never going to have a perfect atmosphere, perfect conditions, but we can have healthy conditions. And it's when we, within ourselves, as individuals, take upon us the character of Christ, the desire that the character of Christ would be manifested in my life. You see, very often we worry about it being seen in the life of someone else. But what the Lord is saying here is that we have the new man, and these features need to be manifested or displayed. And when we add love to it, love the brethren, love one another, in spite of the fact that I might have been wronged, or I think I was wrong, or maybe I was wrong. When we add love, we are able to look at the brethren and say, brother, don't worry about that. We're able to release it to the Lord, to commit it into his hands, because we don't want to be used as a device of the enemy to separate, to divide, to have one something ought against one another, to come to break bread. Think about this. Brother Chuck said, there are those that have a problem, and they come and they break bread every Lord's Day, and that problem has never been resolved. That is a violation of Scripture. But when we live out these characteristics, and love is added, I think of this as a really nice bow that is tied around these seven exhortations. And when love is applied, but I tell you what, that person is like heaping coals of fire upon that person's head. It melts their heart to see that I have more of a desire that Christ would be seen and magnified in my life. That person comes to you and says, you know, I might have said something that I shouldn't have. Or the way in which I said it, the way in which I responded to something you put on your Facebook or that email, I want to say I'm sorry. But when it's the opposite, well, you know what's going to happen? There's hardness of heart. There's animosity. There's division. And the Word of God is encouraging us as young people to have the features of Christ displayed.
I think whenever we are in a reading, or whenever we are reading on our own and studying the Bible, we need to look at how God's ways and the ways of a Christian are so drastically different from the world. What we're charged to do in the Bible, how Christians are charged to live, is completely countercultural. And we need to look now. This is a perfect example of how the world would get us to think that they're on the same page as us. Because they'll say, yeah, forgiveness is great. Forgive, just don't forget, right? But we know in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not keep a record of wrongdoings, right? Right? We shouldn't forgive and still remember that, because you haven't truly forgiven, right? And then just thinking about the idea of forgiveness, when we refuse to forgive someone, when we refuse to have a forgiving spirit towards a brother, you know what that exactly says about us? We don't understand the gospel of grace. We don't understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ when we do that. We're pretty much saying, I have my own rights. I'm entitled to this because you wronged me. And we're pretty much spitting in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ when we do that, because we totally undermine what he has done for us. We think we have some sort of right, but we know that we have been bought. We know that we have no more rights, and that is, we live through Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. So when we do this, when we refuse forgiveness, we constantly neglect. We constantly just push away the gospel. We show that we really don't have an understanding of the gospel, and we spit in our Lord's face.
Somebody was going to speak. Who was it? Okay, just let Emil go, and he'll. Will you go first, maybe? Go ahead.
Just to add on what Brother Tony was saying, Paul starts off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He starts off in verse 1 by saying, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." You pretty much, if you have no love for the brethren, you're pretty much annoying to them. They won't listen to you. They won't like your fellowship with them, and you basically have no affection on them. So, yeah, that's what I just wanted to say.
I think it's really, yesterday I'm sure you talked about the new man, right? You talked about the new man. Now, today, we're going to talk about this new man, how he is dressed. Okay? So, we're going to go shopping. Now I get the attention of all of the young sisters now. We're going to go shopping for clothes. We have put off in verse 8 and in verse 9, the old garment, the old clothes. That's what Joe was speaking about earlier when he said, you know, all of these wrath and unforgiving spirit, all of that clothes we have put off. Now the new man, that the man that his head is in heaven and his feet here on earth, need to go shopping to buy new clothes. And in verse 12 and in verse 13, as we have heard, here are seven pieces of clothes on a rack for you to pick up and to try on. And because you are in Christ, you will fit nicely. So now the new man is dressed up very, very nicely. Now, young sisters and young brothers, you all like to go, well, I don't know about young brothers, but you like to go and get some new shirt, new pants, new kind of garment. Here are spiritual garment that as a new man, because people are not going to see what's inside of you. But what's inside of you will be displayed in the way you dress spiritually. So what we have here are the seven things that Brother Tony have mentioned that are in there. And then you need a belt. Right? You need to have a belt. He said, Brother Tony said about the bow that you put. But here is a belt. I want to look at it this way. And that's verse 14. And that is love. That's a belt that you put on. So you have really nice clothes. You're dressed in new, nice clothes. And everybody around you will see that these clothes, they are very, very expensive. They are extremely expensive. You know what? Who purchased them? The Lord Jesus. The cost of it was so great. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is to go to that rack, take them and put them on. And do me a favor, don't ever take them off. You have put them on, keep them on, and display them all the time.
Why is it that we do that? And I just don't want us to miss over in verse 12. Put on, okay? Put on, therefore, as. Two-letter word, as. And it introduces to us there three reasons why we do this. Okay? There's three reasons why. There is here, as, right? This has to do with all that we have come into, okay, as a result of salvation through Christ. But here, as the elect of God. That's the first one. Elect of God. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so now we're putting on because this is now our position, our place. We're elected by God, and that is before the world was created. That's why. That's number one. Holy. Separate for God. Okay? Separated from this world and separated unto Christ. Holy for Him. And beloved. Loved of God. And this is the reason why we go and put these things on. Then it is for our walk here. It is to represent. This is who we are. So now it is in representation of these things of who we are, which God had purposed for you before you were ever born.